We'll resume our study on page 585. Before doing so, we will pause for a few moments of silent prayer for rebound if necessary. Shall we pray? And now, Father, as we continue our study, it is our prayer that the Holy Spirit will enlighten us as we move forward in this analysis, and we lift our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. Before continuing on, I want you to note that what we're looking at is some principles that have emerged from our study of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. It took 61 hours to do 12 verses. I am more than aware of the fact that someone could legitimately ask the question, why did it take so long? It is not evident in just a casual reading in one of the English translations of those 12 verses and get all that's there, especially the restraining ministry of the Holy Spirit. There is a system called eisegogics, categories, and exegesis. Eisegogics is the historical background of a passage. Categories has to do with observing a principle or a doctrine and developing it by consulting all of the passages in Scripture that contribute to that idea. You develop a category from that. And then exegesis has to do with ignoring the English translation and going back to the original language, be it Hebrew or Greek. And so I understand, for example, we just went through 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 and 2, and it is peppered with Greek words. And that's called exegesis. To go back to the original, I can tell you that as I look at English translations and then break down the verse from the original, in the case we've been observing lately is the Greek, and see what the English translations are as opposed to what the Greek actually communicates. And I understand you've got to put it in English because that's what we read. But there's way more there in the original than you see in an English translation. So the system that I use is one that I fell into accidentally in 1971. The thing that grasped my attention was when the one teaching me exegeted the first verb in a passage. Now, I want to tell you, I'll be fair and upfront with you, I don't know a participle from a subjunctive. I don't even know what those words mean. Do you? It doesn't matter to me whether I know it or not. I can find out what they mean. And therefore, I bother myself to break down these verbs and let you know what the action is. Do you receive the action? Do you produce the action? Are you participating in the action? Is it an imperative mood, which is a command, and you're held responsible for that? And so on it goes. We've seen a lot of imperative moods in some of the things we've looked at lately, including the passage we're about to approach. And the thing that I'm trying to get across to you is if you do this right, people get a broader understanding of what the Bible is teaching. And I fully understand because I have to put this together. It is boring. I want you to know where the boring starts. I ignore that. I struggle with getting the right English words to convey to you regarding a Greek or Hebrew word that's in the text. And that appears to be boring. But when we get done and we get an expanded translation and with the brackets defining a lot of the stuff in context, then you have a full understanding of what those 12 verses are about and how important they are today in the decline of this client nation. If you don't get restraining ministry of the Holy Spirit and your part in it, then you haven't been paying attention over the last 61 hours. It is imperative that people devote the time and concentration to logging the time, meaning the days, the hours, the lessons themselves, and bringing all of that together in a facilitated understanding of the idea. and you take a paragraph, something's going on in that paragraph. This one happened to be 12 verses. There's a lot in there, and it has to all be brought together to give you the overall view of what's being communicated by Paul to the Thessalonican church and why he needed to say this to them and to kick them back in gear, because they have been propagandized by intruders from the dark side that came in and told them a bunch of lies. And these people are upset because they think Paul has misled them and Paul didn't do it. It was these renegades that came in and did it. And then Paul has to bother himself about straightening this out. So what I'm trying to get across to you is this is what I do, because I learned from the master on how it's done. And when you understand, you break down verbs, you get a lot more than just the word they chose when they translated. And I feel also a great deal of compassion for biblical translators. If they put in the Bible all of the details that the verbs and all other parts of speech are found in a passage, if they put it all in there, your Bibles would have several volumes, maybe 10 or 12, and you couldn't haul that around. Oh, you've got your laptop and all of that thing, so you can have it in there. But you'd be in a lot of spinning. So the reason I'm saying to you is that I think people have gotten to the point where they can't put up with this. And that's okay with me. But that's not going to help the nation. It's not going to help people individually. You've got to gut this out. This is a process. I don't do 22-minute things. So where'd I leave off? I'm feeling much better now. Okay. Did I quit on page 585? 510? Point 10. Yes, that's what I thought. Here we go. Point 10. The authority. Well, that won't do. Going back through the other verses, words in the verse, we had the king. Basileus, that's the king. And then we had another word, hegemon, title of refers to Roman procurators or governors. So these are subdivisions away from the honcho. And the authority enables these men to function on the king's behalf. So you have people underneath the king that do his bidding. And the punishment of evildoers becomes a part of that responsibility. So when you're pulled over by the policeman for speeding, you say, yes, sir, or yes, ma'am, as the case might be. And yes, I was speeding, and I speed a lot, and I was speeding today, and I fess up to it, and I'll pay the fine. That's what you do. I've seen people want to talk a policeman or a highway patrol guy out of giving them a ticket. The more you talk them out of it, the more tickets you're going to get. Submit to his authority. I mean, if you're going to speed, and I admit to it, okay? Yes, I'm speeding. Always 10 miles over. Not 11, just 10. And if you'll try that, they won't stop you, by the way. I've asked them. Not enough money in it. That's the truth. Okay, enough of that free information. I'm probably in trouble. I'm probably in trouble for telling you that, but it's the truth. Okay, this is required under the principle of the laws of divine establishment, submitting to these guys. And this is the preservation of freedom, peace, and tranquility in the nation. Give these guys a break. Every time they pull somebody over, they want to argue about it. What you should do is say, thank you, officer. You are absolutely correct. You're doing your job, and I appreciate that. You're making these highways safe for me to travel 10 miles over. Those to be apprehended are referred to as evildoers. Kakapoyos is the word. One who is injurious to the community. Would evildoers communicate that to you in reading your English translations? You would ask yourself the question, Fred, what do you think an evildoer is? Then he would have an idea of an evildoer, probably mentioning some names of current candidates for the El Presidente. He's an evildoer. Well, what does that actually mean? And kakapoyos means it can't be really good. So what are you? I'm a kakapoyos. Yeah, you are. And so what is the idea here in kakapoyos? One who is injurious to the community. What's the community? It can be like the city, the county, the state, the nation. On the other hand, those said to be among those who do right, they're to be praised. Well, what do you do to do right? Ask somebody in this community what it takes to do right. Well, they go and they eat stale, leavened bread and cheap wine. That's doing good. And every time they go, that's what they do. That's doing good. Got that? So ask somebody, what do you do to do good? They'll tell you that. What do you do to do good? Well, you know, when my friend had an operation, I went over and held hands and sang hymns. That's okay. If you want to do that, that's fine. Probably uplifting to the person. What I'm trying to get you around to thinking is that's the kind of thing you choose to do in order to assist others from time to time. But what needs to be focused on is what you are ingrained to do on a consistent, ongoing basis in response to mandates in the Word of God. That's where we've got to get. And so we have the good here. And so the idea of doing the right thing is expressed by a verb, agathapoeo. Agathapoeo. And this is a compound. You have agathos up at the beginning, and that's the word for good, as you well know. Agathos, that's good. Plus, poieo, to do, therefore to do good. This refers to the production of divine good. What is divine good? That is a response to a biblical guidance of some kind. It can be an imperative mood, but it can be a principle that's been established. You find it even illustrated in Old Testament passages that people play out a scene for you. Decisions are made in the process. Some are good, some are bad. And so you learn from the examples given in the Old Testament. That's some of the things that probably, if I'm guessing right, probably is central to prep school. Because you go to the Old Testament for illustrations. You go over there and say, okay, this is what went on with these people in this passage of Scripture. Let's see what they did, what they said, and how things came out. And then once that's communicated to them, then you go to New Testament passages that give mandates about how to do this or how not to do it. See, this person made this decision. That was a bad decision. And you need to learn from that. Don't be like Fred here. But this guy over here made a good decision based on this principle here in the New Testament. And therefore, when you see people make decisions like that in the Old Testament, they were doing good. And so good and bad, therefore, gets inculcated in the children's souls. And so this is agathos, that's a good, and poieo, to do. It refers then to the production of divine good. And such individuals are to receive epinos, epinos, and that means praise or commendation. They are to be praised and commended. And so you elevate those people in Scripture that do the right thing. Say, be like this guy. Be like Joseph. Be like David, etc., etc. Don't be like this guy. Two things determine what is meant by verses 13 and 14. Within the devil's world, a believer's basic modus operandi is to obey human laws. That's what you get from this. And you're given a breakdown of who the people are involved in these laws and how you're to respect those people and the laws they enforce. You may not agree with the law. That's okay. You just have to obey it. That's why Christian people don't cause problems and hold up signs blocking traffic that say, Christian lives matter. How stupid would that be? And there's no group of people that's been harassed more over history than Christians. People are ready to kill those folks. And why would that be? Because they are the restraining ministry of the Holy Spirit against the dark side strategy. They have to be hated. So know that and consider that a compliment. If you're not being hassled by the dark side, then maybe you're not worth the bother. For the gospel of salvation and the communication and execution of the Word of God to be freely expressed, The Christian must orient to the Lord's guidance. Please note Matthew 22:21. It's in quotes. The Lord said this, "Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." Render, in other words, ante up. Whatever it happens to be, your positive volition, something that you're supposed to do, like in the context here, pay your taxes. People don't want to pay their taxes. Heck, who does? Who even thought of this idea? Let's see if I can think through this. Who was the yokel? I think it was Woodrow communist sympathizer Wilson, who was president when the income tax deal was ratified. I think it's number 17, Amendment 17. And so it was for 1%. If you made a dollar, give the government a penny. Isn't that funny? How did they change that, by the way? Did we try to ratify an amendment to the amendment in order to get 2%? I don't recall that. But it's just me. It seems like that if they're going to change the 1% thing, that it had to have some kind of amendment. But that would have taken 37 states to do that, and everybody would have said, no, not that again. When the government of a client nation suppresses these imperatives placed upon believers by divine mandate, then every effort must be made to perform them within the structure of human laws. When the government of a client nation suppresses these imperatives, suppresses them, placed upon believers by divine mandate, then every effort must be made to perform them within the structure of human laws. The guidelines on the potential conflict between human laws and divine laws are, number one, the believer must be flexible with regard to issues that are not in conflict with biblical mandates. You may not agree, but the Bible doesn't say that you can't do it. Got that? So that's flexibility, but two, inflexible with regard to those in conflict with them, meaning biblical mandates. So the principle that emerges, you must be flexible toward the non-essentials and inflexible toward essentials. If there's a principle of Scripture that is clearly delineated in the text, like an imperative mood, for example, you must do this, you must not do that, as the case might be, and the government passes a law that would implore you, mandate, legislate you to violate a biblical mandate, then you can't do it. You say, well, what then? You have a right to remain silent. A lot of people over the history of the church age have said, I'm not doing that. I can't do it before God and before the guidelines given in Scripture. You're asking me to do something that's in violation of my rights as a citizen of this country and a believer in Jesus Christ. You're asking me to violate divine law, and I can't do that, so have your way with me. A lot of people are willing to be flexible on that. I mean, Justice Roberts has made the biggest mess you've ever seen out of our entire health care system with a stroke of a pen. Okay? Is there any biblical mandate that says that you can't do that? You can't submit to this system? There's not. So as bad an idea as it is, you just have to somehow deal with Obama's care. What about Justice Kennedy? What kind of a environment has he established for pastors and for those who believe in the Word of God and the inflexible concepts associated with the laws of divine establishment? Can't do that. So what's going to happen? Well, I just quit doing it to the chagrin of those who want to be married in this church. But until that fog is lifted with some clarity, that's where we're going to be for a while. And if forced to do it, then I'm just saying, you know, take me to jail. I'm done here. Or I could retire. What are you going to do? If the latter, this is inflexible with regard to essentials, if the latter becomes a case, then he, the believer, must be willing to suffer the consequences with a stiff upper lip and quiet resolution. And you display a copacetic mental attitude through it all. You don't hold up signs and say, pastors' lives matter, believers' lives matter. No signs. Submit to the authority. Now, I've thinned this crowd apparently, and maybe more to leave today. You don't like the way this sounds. That's why we break the passages down. You can't get past this. We are not here to cause trouble. We are here to learn the Word of God, have restraint, which is our mandate that we've just noted. And we therefore are in the angelic conflict, and we have to behave ourselves according to Scripture. This is what you sign on to. Say, oh, I don't want to do this. Well, you're not going to support the pivot anymore. Just go ahead and be a renegade. Problem causer. March in the streets. Lie down in front of police vehicles. Burn a building. Get in the movement. Let's take a look now at 1 Peter 2:13 and 14 in expanded translation. Subjugate yourselves to every human ordinance. See, they've passed these laws. They love to do that. Do you know people are upset because there seems to be a contretemps in Congress between Democrats and Republicans, and get this, they can't get anything done. That's what we've been looking for. Let's have more of that. Let's lock it down so nobody can move up there. You can get a majority on the sun coming up in the east. Subjugate yourselves to every human ordinance. Respect the authority structure of the client nation's laws of divine establishment. That's what that means. Why? Because of the Lord's sake. Because of the Lord's sake. Accusative of cause of the preposition dia. That's what you've got there is dia, not sake. Because of, is what you've got, because of, ton kurios, because of the Lord. It doesn't say of his sake, it says because of the Lord. But it does say sake. You say, well, how do you get sake when sake's not there? What if you're reading your Bible and you're a real serious student and you come to the word sake and you get Strong's gizmo down that's got every word with a code number. Exhaustive concordance, they say. You pull that big baby down and you flip to sake. And you get to sake and there's nothing there. Because it's not a sake. It's sakeless. But sake can be imputed to the passage because sake is there. It's just not, there's not a word for it. So how do you know? That's why I'm here, to help you to know where your sake is. So subjugate yourselves to every human ordinance because of the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme authority or unto governors, those in jurisdictional positions of authority, for the punishment of those practicing evil, and honor those who do the right thing. Okay. Let's note our footnote number 3. Oh. Some of you are now worried of getting wet when we leave, aren't you? Would you please say amen and get us out of here? Pray that the weather angels will hold off for another 15 minutes. Okay, let's look at the footnote. The noun sake is not found in the New Testament, but in English Bibles, the word is inserted as part of a prepositional phrase. The preposition for in this verse is the accusative of cause plus the noun kurios, Lord. It is best translated because of the Lord's sake. The word sake in English means motive, purpose, end, cause, advantage, behalf, benefit, or account. In other words, this is for the Lord's benefit if you do this. And so what is the word that you can insert in there to see the beneficial aspect of the Lord with regard to keeping this mandate? Well, they've chosen the word sake to put in there. And all of the translations you get in English translations, pick one, they use the word sake. That's English. It amplifies the fact of benefit for the Lord, to his benefit. And so sake is picked to do that. They stuck it in there. Are you good to go with that? That's why sake is in there. Now we have three more verses in the passage we're noting. This is a paragraph. It has to do with the laws of divine establishment. Here's the New American Standard, 1 Peter 2:15 through 17. For such is the will of God that by doing right you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. Do this and you'll silence the ignorance of foolish men. Who would the foolish men be? It would be unbelievers who are in positions of authority. It would be believers who think they have a right to take a stand about something, which is not an inflexible concept, but rather flexible. You can go with it, although you don't appreciate it, you don't understand it, you don't want to. All of that's fine, but you just can't do it. For such is the will of God, by doing right, you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. Act rather as free men. And do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bond slaves of God. Honor all people. Get this. This is where we headed, is verse 17. We'll spend some time here. And you've got by maybe 8 or 9 words is all you've got. And it kicks off, honor all people. Uh-oh. Does this include ISIS? Does it include criminals? Does it include politicians? Does it include Auburn students? Yes. See, there's some people out there, even worse than ISIS, that you're told to honor. Look at that. Honor all people. Who are these people? How do we honor them? All right. Love the brotherhood. Oh, no. Not that. Fear God. In other words, is this a mandate? All of these imperatives, by the way. Are we to be afraid of God? Only if you're in the dark side. And we'll see, when we get to the word fear, you'll find out it's not fear. Fear's not there. Why'd they stick it in there? Because there is a concept of fear here, but only if you're on the dark side. When should you fear God? When you're out of fellowship. When should you fear God? When you're not keeping the mandates. When should you fear God? When you're a low-life doofy. That's when you should fear him. So that mandate is in here. Fear God. How should you fear him? You're going to be out of fellowship at some point. You should fear this. But you're not out of fellowship sometimes, so what would that word be? So we'll have to get there to that. Then finally, honor the king. Who would that be? Have we just lowered it to the ultimate level? Yes, we have. Now, what have you been doing the last 7 years? What have I been doing? What have you been saying to your television set? I know you've said these things. I've said them too. In fact, I've shouted at my television. I've cast aspersions upon the images that are on the screen. Okay, over in the corner there's an angel with a bell that's ready to ring. Who's going to get their wings here this morning? Those that say, you know, I've been a bad boy for 7 years. For me, it's been more like 50. You know, I voted for Barry Goldwater. Oh, well. There was that. So the bell's not ringing for me. But I can't change the fact that's in the passage here. Who is it you hate worse than anything? Hope they die in a fire. Think family reunion. There's that. Neighbors. Wife, husband, children, Margaret, what are we going to do with little Freddie? He's going to be the biggest mess you've ever seen. We need to kill him, but we can't. It's against the law. The phrase, for such is the will of God, encompasses all the principles mentioned in the context of this paragraph. All of this is the will of God. So how should we orient and adjust to that? Because he says, you stay in your circle, get in your bubble. I'll take care of these details and these people. That's not your duty. That's not your calling. You take care of your business. You get in this bubble. You learn how to behave yourself. You pull those volitional triggers. I'm taking care of you. You get outside that bubble and do my duty. I'm going to kick you from here to Sunday. You're going to bleed before it's over. Now you get back in there and behave yourself. You don't have any authority over any of these people. None. You have authority over your children. You have authority over those you employ. You have authority over those whose you're mandated to protect and serve. But other than that, you don't. Whoever's fouling their nest around here, that's not your job. Your job is to orient and adjust and let the Lord take care of it, which he will do if you will get out of the way. Otherwise, we got a passage coming. I'll leave you with this. I will flip and I just know I'll find it because I've got all of the pages here. They're going to last you for a couple of weeks. Yes, all you see this flipping going on, you got to endure all of this. We're going out in a blaze of glory here. Yes, we are. I don't even know where it is. But in here, in these little flipping pages, I know it's in the one I'm not through with yet. It's yet to come, but it's there. So I'm just not going to tell you what it is. Just suffer through it. But I'll quit now. I know you want to go out in the car before you get wet. So look, here's what we're going to do. Principle, to do the will of God, the believer must know the will of God. Okay, do you know the will of God? It's whatever the Bible says you're to do or not do. How hard is that? And then the inventory of ideas is only acquired through consistent Bible studies. And to net it out, believers are not in this game if they do not know the rules of the game. You're not in the game. What if you want to play baseball? The Cardinals who want to play baseball. But somewhere along the line, they couldn't figure out, on the major leagues now, they couldn't figure out how to hit a left-handed pitcher. They get it. Who knew? I can't hit a left-hander, Manager Matheny. And so he says, well, that's okay. Just go up there and keep trying. Believers are not in this game if they do not know the rules of the game. Christianity in its present state in client nation America is drifting significantly toward fulfillment of examples provided by the Jews when involved in their several encounters with the five cycles of discipline. Keep that in mind as you try to stay in the bubble until Wednesday. Now, Father, we thank you for the privilege and opportunity of studying these things. It is our prayer that we would be motivated by what we've studied, understanding our duty before you with regard to human authority. Our place is in the bubble. Our mentality should be things that are found in your word that are in our souls that we can apply. Endeavoring to accomplish that objective becomes our duty before you. Motivate us in that process as we lift our prayer. In the name of Christ, our Savior. Charis human kai arene, plethun thae in epinosai, tu theu kai iesu tu kuriu himon. And now may grace and prosperity be multiplied unto you by means of your knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen.